The following podcast is for mature audiences only, so hey, look, if you're under 18, just turn it off, okay?
Do you know the secrets of making friends? They are so simple and easy. That looks easy enough, and Joey is going to try it out.
Hey guys, it's Miss Jenga.
It's Freckles.
Captain Jack.
How is everybody this week?
I would like to start this podcast off because I'm kind of buzzing from it. I just got done with a 6.5 hour date. First date.
Nice.
I started doing the Tinder thing. Second meeting, first one, train wreck.
Well.
Second one, I didn't like have sex or anything, but It was just this awesome 6.5 long
today.
Okay. Yeah, started at 1, ended at 7:30.
Nice.
And I had to come. I would stay there longer, but I had to come over here and do the podcast.
Right,
damn it!
Right. Yeah.
Jeez,
sorry, man.
You
sorry,
guys are
Captain Jack.
Digging into my love time.
Oh,
well, you'll get plenty of love in here.
Once you're done recording, you can go back.
Oh no,
yeah,
that won't
there
be done.
You go.
No,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have to start it out with Tinder. What the hell is that?
Tinder. It's a application online that you dating site. You make
so
a
like
profile.
Like OkCupid type thing, or
similar, okay. But it's more speed like.
Speed. You,
yeah.
What?
First thing,
like
it,
speed
it,
dating, or
well, kind of, well, sort of.
Okay.
Anyways, you open up the application and there's a picture there.
Okay.
And you can click on it to see other pictures. You can read a little blurb about that picture.
All right.
But you can't look at any other profiles unless you say yes or no.
Oh.
So swipe right. So you swipe the picture right, and you say yes. Swipe the picture left. You say no, basically.
So it's like Pandora Radio, but for dating.
Exactly. And if the other side swipes yes on you, well, you get a notification.
Oh.
And say, hey, ta-da, you guys match.
Match.
And I've had 20, 30 matches. I've gone out in 2 dates now.
Which picture are you using? Are you using the one I told you not to?
I don't remember.
Is it one with a tiger on it? I hear that's popular on Tinder.
I should get one with a tiger.
Ooh, I got
that's like an automatic
tigers.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Swipe right.
Yeah.
Ooh, tiger, swipe right.
Yeah,
wait,
so
is swipe right good? Swipe right is good.
It's
okay.
Known as being a hookup site.
Okay.
As a total hookup site because of the speed at which you just run through profiles.
Nice.
And you get the point.
But it's safer than Craigslist.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's got everything a strange it's got Craigslist. A strange spelling actually, Tinder. I believe it's spelled DTF.
Well done. Touché, motherfucker. Nice.
So Sweet Pea got me into it. She's been doing the Tinder thing for a while. So
okay.
I've been Tinderized now since I've been out on a date.
Oh, jeez.
They spelled like Tumblr with like no E's and like an umlaut. And
no, actually Tinder's spelled like it's Tindered.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just,
nothing
like
special.
Tinder, like
Tinder.
Fire sticks?
Like
or
fire
like,
Tinder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Just catch
Tinder
fire
is the night.
Well, they're not sponsoring us, but Julie Maines is of Sugar Me Julie.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
How's your balls?
They're nice and smooth.
Nice.
I went and saw her this week.
Yeah.
And she fixed me up.
Oh,
got me cleaned
little
up.
Touch up.
A little touch up.
Touch up.
Nice.
I've been out 3 weeks. She says I'm more of a 4 week guy. So.
Okay.
There you go.
I got to wait
I'm
4 weeks.
Of a 2 week girl. Oh, like, yeah. We've been talking about, she's talking about offering a touch up Brazilian at an even cheaper rate than the regular Brazilian. Mm-hmm. So I'm super stoked about that. But she sent me this. Sex positive begins with loving yourself, and loving yourself means having the body the way you want it. In that spirit, we're happy to announce that Sugar Me Julie, she's operated by one of the Western Washington's expert sugarists, Julie Maines, is going to be supporting the O-Face podcast.
We're commercialized.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Sugaring is an ancient hair removal technique, which we had a whole episode about. And it was really funny. I overheard some people that didn't know who I was talking about that episode of the podcast. And they were like, holy shit, they sugared the dude on the air.
Sweet. Sweet.
Where was this?
I was teaching a class.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you had a class. You had listeners in the audience of the class?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you guys want to know more about it, go to www.sugarmejulie.com. You can learn all about sugaring and the ancient technique that is way superior to waxing. It's environmentally sound. It feels better. Plus, your junk tastes delicious after you're done.
Dun, dun, dun.
And Julie's fucking hilarious. Yeah. I mean, didn't you just fall in love with her?
You know, there's a lot of technique in how you sugar. It's a lot more difficult, technical than waxing.
Oh, yeah. But it's safer.
Safer. But most of what she brings to the table is her personality.
Yeah.
Because she is a riot on that
table. Oh, yeah. She's a total riot.
And, yeah, it hurts. It sucks. But her humor.
She makes it hurt did it so hurt, good.
Did it hurt less this time?
Well, she, yeah, I think it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have the three muses around you.
No, I only had two this time.
Oh, she had somebody else there?
Well, I did. Oh. I brought a date to it, actually.
Oh, my God.
It was somebody
hey,
I was.
You want to see
your
my
Tinder
balls?
Date?
Someone I was playing with. No, different date.
There you
go. Somebody I've hooked up with several times, and, you know, you're perfect, except for you need to take care of your stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
You need to get rid of that down there.
Right, right.
And she was offended at first, and like, okay, well, let's do this. All right.
So she got sugar too?
Yeah, she met me there.
Fuck yeah!
So, so he's told two friends, and she'll tell two friends, and so on and so on. And you're welcome, Julie.
So I didn't want her to see me go through it first.
Right, right.
So we put her on the table first. And she's really
dude, nervous. Really?
And I was holding her hands the whole time. And
did you at least buy her a drink after that?
I bought
that?
Her the sugary, and then she had a date afterwards, so...
Oh, that's even better. Wow.
I love this life. Speaking of loving this life, we have a guest.
We do.
It's our love child.
What?
You gave life to this guest.
Wow. Yeah, 21 years ago. You just turned 21.
Quite literally, actually.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So you can partake of the tasty beverage that we have. We got Mr.
That
Freckles.
That is right. We have today we have a Bourbon Ricky.
I got a floaty. Wow. It's a half
a
lime.
It's got half a lime in it. That's
fucking
cool.
It's got a half a lime. It's got lime juice. It's got bourbon and it's got club soda.
Oh,
well, I
dude,
certainly won't
okay,
be lacking
good.
For vitamin
See?
C.
Yeah.
I've been
Damn.
Talking about that.
Yeah,
and it's called a Bourbon Ricky.
It's the bourbon scurvy.
Bourbon the scurvy.
See, I prefer my bourbon straight.
I understand.
Too,
yes, that's true.
I can use a little sweet.
The traditional Ricky is a lime Ricky is the lime and the club soda and gin.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So I know your preference for not gin. And I know your preference for bourbon.
Yeah. It upsets
so,
my tummy.
Kind of a
you're
race
a
inducing
I do try to be.
Noticed.
What? Gin?
Gin.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
makes everyone angry at everything.
Yeah. Welcome
Even
to,
themselves.
Welcome
Unlike
to
tequila, where your clothes just fall off.
Yeah, right?
So welcome to the O-Face podcast.
Hello.
So
Thank you for having me.
We've been doing this for a couple months now, and we finally brought you on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. about damn time. I was wondering when this is going
to
fucking
we
happen.
We wanted you to be able to drink with us. That's what it was.
Ah, got it. Okay, so when you had my sister on the podcast.
She didn't drink.
Sweet cheeks. Right, no.
It's
she
a couple years.
Drink.
She was doing her gender thing, so it was a pretty hot topic with the whole... Jenner thing going on.
Yeah, not
so the whole gender thing going on.
Jenner.
Caitlyn.
Jenner. Caitlyn. Thank you.
Oh, Caitlyn Jenner. Oh,
yeah.
Jenner, not Jenner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
But no, that's definitely it's not something that you want to get hammered and talk about because that's, you know, a very interesting and very touchy subject for a lot of
yeah,
people.
Yeah, we were
so.
Very offensive.
That's good.
Well, I was.
Terribly.
Good. Well, I'm so glad.
But it wasn't intentional. I have a lot of compassion and I'm an activist with that type
there you
of thing,
go
so
that's very good
so you attended club you worked there as part of the maintenance staff
I did
you got to scrub out the human soup bowls
yeah that wasn't
oh see yeah. now the claws come out now the place is closed
yeah
no it was
God,
a joke
no.
that's kind of you know when you get more than like we have big parties
yeah
and the hot tubs were always very well maintained and
oh, yeah.
cleaned
absolutely
but we were like yeah. ooh. That's some human soup.
But
right
by
there.
The end of the night,
yeah, if there was any water left in those, yeah, it was basically stew.
Reason why there
yeah.
was no play allowed in the hot tubs.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, one of yes, one of the reasons
that was
summarily ignored.
Yeah,
summarily.
that was one of those things where I think it was in fact you know my complaint of having to clean that out of the filters. Was,
oh yeah, no
was
jizz in the fizz.
Yeah, was enough to really kind of get that rule moved up. In the docket.
Yeah, that's good. So you worked there for over a year.
Yes,
is that
ma'am.
Right. Yeah. And how did that work with your mom? People usually say, "Oh, your mom doesn't work here. Clean up after yourself." I'm like, "Oh, your mom does work here.
Yeah, quite literally.
Clean up after yourself."
So,
well as everyone else,
it was interesting. I was coming back from a European tour that I had been saving up for about a year and a half.
European tour? Are you a rock star?
Sort of. In fact, I financed it myself, so you know I clearly was rolling in the money.
Self-produced.
running around the countries and everything like that. But I came back, and I was really, really not looking to going back to retail. So mm-hmm. I needed a job, and they made me an offer at the club, and I took it and kind of started this crazy adventure, self-propelled journey, kind of just learning more about myself every day.
Yeah.
It was a very, very interesting experience, and I came out a completely different person, I think.
So you're gay?
Not yet.
God damn it.
Well, I mean,
not yet.
I just
such
want
a disappointed
kid.
Mother.
I am.
Yeah. You wanted a gay son and like a fashion designer. Daughter, I think it was what it was, or something mm-hmm. like
no,
that.
I wanted the gay son who was a fashion designer.
Right, sorry, my bad. but unfortunately, you got to split that between you've got my sister who's going to be a fashion designer, and you've got me, the horrible disappointment.
You are not a horrible disappointment.
He's yeah. not gay.
He's not gay. That's okay.
Okay. No, I saw your mojo so many times at the club. You are so far from gay.
Yeah.
He's cock-blocked you a couple times, too.
Have I?
I recall, yes, a couple times.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean
you're
to do
new
that.
In a lifestyle. I didn't lay into yeah. you too
you
bad.
You should see the grin on his face. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, seriously. There was a time when me and my ex-girlfriend were sitting with it was a female. I don't know if it was a couple or not. And we were getting along with them. We were connecting. We were communicating. And it was going real well. And
then
scree. What's that?
The boy.
Swoop.
And her eyes, who we were talking to, get big and get enamored. And like, it's done.
Oh, no.
Like, I look at her. I look at my girlfriend like, yeah.
Game over.
Here.
Oh.
Well, Cap'n Jack, one day he'll be old like us.
People don't know about you because there have been a couple instances where I've heard that you've cock-blocked people is that you had a style at club where you were there at 6 o'clock when the doors opened because
yep.
you were there working and doing stuff. So you'd chat these ladies up when they came in the door
boom.
And then you'd just let them have their evening and explore. And then you'd come back and see how things were going.
And the plop.
So I would like to kind of, you know, lay that out kind of how usually a night went for me.
Okay.
Because
actually, yeah, let's, cause,
so,
cause let's
I,
break this
I feel
down.
Like, I feel like that, like,
cause they hear me bitch all the time.
Yeah. So it sounds like to me that I was more of a vulture than I wanted to be. Because
actually, it's pretty good.
No.
Well, for me, it was one of those things where, you know, for me, I wanted to, you know, enjoy my night.
Yeah.
Generally, I was doing stuff. It was, you know, doing maintenance things, doing dishes or, you know, making sure the hot tubs were still functioning
right.
or, you know, being, you know, present, but mm-hmm. still, you know, making sure that, you know.
Setting up tarps.
Pretty much. Just
hauling,
kind of.
Hauling burlesque. Suitcases up the stairs for me.
Basically, yeah. everything and anything that needed to be done,
yep.
I was usually the one who got pulled to do it.
Yep.
I mean, the rest of the staff was pretty much.
That is the.
We were all. Yeah.
Yeah, we were all working. Yep. So, for me, it was one of those things where, you know, I'd see a lady and I'd go say hello and say, "Hey, this is really nice. It was good to meet you. You know, I hope that I get to see you again soon."
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go off.
Yep.
And when I came back, apparently after everybody was, you know, all liquored up and having a good time and everything like that.
Because you were a minor, so you couldn't drink.
Yeah, I couldn't drink.
Well, not a minor.
He was
sorry.
The only under one in the 21. Place with his wits about him.
Yeah, under 21. So we did allow 18 to 21-year-olds in club, but they had a different wristband
right.
and weren't allowed to drink. Mm-hmm.
To make it very clear, though, I never, ever went after anyone who looked too intoxicated.
Nice. Well, absolutely. No.
And it was very important to me that everybody was coherent and giving consent,
yeah.
and there was communication between all of the parties. If there was, I had an interest in someone who was there with a partner, I made sure to talk to the partner and everything like that. And,
nice.
You know,
Swinger 101.
It was very important to me that everybody was aware of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, sometime that came across as me broadcasting that I was going upstairs with someone. So.
It's the law of unintended consequences.
Exactly.
You know.
It was never my intent to make anybody feel like that they were being cock-blocked or alienated or anything like that. For me, it was always just kind
of... There's that smile again.
Hey!
No.
For me, it was again, it was never my intention. It was just kind of... that's how it happened.
And yeah. To be fair, yeah. You do kind of look like a 1940s movie star.
Well, I'm not going to argue that. I can't really...
He's got this baby face with perfect skin.
Says his mother.
He's got this triangle physique that he's worked very hard to get.
Yeah, I used to be much, much heavier than I was. And
you struggled with body issues, body image issues when you first came to club, as I recall. Is that correct?
The difference between now and when I first started coming to club, I had long hair. I was probably about 40 pounds heavier. I was trying to grow a beard. That was a mistake.
Sorry about that, boy.
That's fine. But for me, it was an experience of realizing that I needed to take a better look at myself, and I had to realize that if I wanted people to want me, I had to want myself. Because really,
So you started masturbating.
I started masturbating furiously
in the mirror.
Going,
you're so beautiful.
So crying.
Single tear. A single tear every time.
Did you fuck me?
I'd fuck me.
Anyway, so
I'm so horrified.
But God,
there's all sorts of wrong right now.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah. When in Rome.
What did you do in Rome? Never mind.
No.
Never mind.
I don't want to know.
So, but for me, it was. I started to care about my appearance, and I started, you know, getting haircuts and shaving and working out, and I got to a point where I was kind of comfortable and was ready to kind of be a little bit more vulnerable. And I had a girlfriend through all this as well, that I brought with me to club and everything like that, and she was lovely up until we broke up. But while I was dating her, I also discovered burlesque. And that was really kind of the thing that propelled me to want to push myself, to want to become better, to become more than I was.
And you made that connection actually through club.
I did, actually. Yeah. I met Serafina, who was a fantastic performer.
She still is, by
still
the way.
Is. Yeah. But
good point.
Past tense, because it's the
at
story.
The club,
at the club, yeah. Fantastic performer, and you know, I wanted to emulate that. I wanted to be
a hot, sexy little Italian girl.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, maybe
who
he
wouldn't?
Kind of gay.
Yeah, maybe a little.
Maybe he does wear glitter.
There's hope.
So
there's hope.
It's a fine line, and I accept him fully for what he is and who he's not, and that's okay.
You kind of want me to be a little gay.
I'm okay with it now. The burlesque has helped a lot.
Good.
The feather and the glitter has helped a lot.
Sure.
Okay, fair enough.
Sequins.
The
twerking, that's helped.
Twerking, the rhinestones. So being in that environment and being highly sexualized all of the time, it kind of gave me an idea of how sexual I wanted to be with myself. And finding that equilibrium, because there were times where I was very overt and very forward and everything like that.
Yeah,
and
we saw that.
Not very many people were cool with that.
No.
And it was one, I had to find a balance of, you know, it was a little bit of, seduction, a little bit of, you know, talking and being intelligent and being coherent and not treating people like shit. Which was a thing that, you know, I definitely didn't want to do or make anybody feel like that they weren't being excluded because I know how that feels.
Yep.
But I also wanted to be honest with the people I wasn't interested in.
Right.
So I had to learn to be more honest with myself about what I wanted because, you know, if I made everybody feel included, then I wasn't doing what I wanted.
Right.
And so I had to be very adamant with my boundaries and everything like that, and kind of set those boundaries for myself.
Personal boundaries.
Yeah, personal boundaries. And if I couldn't do that, then I couldn't pursue anything with anybody, really. And there was a time, there was a couple of quite a few times where I just wasn't comfortable, and I learned to kind of push through that and figure out, like, well, do I want to go do this, or do I want to abstain and say, you know what, not tonight, and, you know, be a little bit more present with my with my interests and with what I wanted.
Right.
So
what are some of your fun adventures that you've had at club? Because you were single male for a while there.
I was.
You were part of a blowjob competition.
I was part of a blowjob competition.
For the Lifestyle Olympics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was that.
How was that? Was that weird? Because the guys were all blindfolded and the girls were rotating through and then you guys ranked them.
Yeah, and then it was like a group of like 30 people watching.
Yeah.
That was kind of one of the big ones that was kind of like pushed me to like to another limit, as it were. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a very interesting experience. It was, well, obviously, you know, being blindfolded and, you know, having that sort of thing done to you is, you know, can sometimes be a bit of an awkward experience, but you know, it seemed to have been handled quite lovingly, as it were.
So, but for me, it was. Let's see, what other adventures have I got myself up to? Really, it was kind of, you know,
take your pick. What do you want to hear? I mean, there's some like some really crazy stuff that I got into.
Yeah.
And then there was, you know, there was just minor stuff about like the like a couple of different.
What are you doing?
Trying to fix your microphone, which is not working very well.
Oh no! Is it?
And need to talk into it.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right.
Just hold on to that bit right there at the end. Just hold it really tight.
So yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess there was the time when actually I got dumped.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
you were supposed to perform. That.
Yeah,
it was. So you actually wound up. You entered the world of burlesque.
Yes, I did.
And you've had a couple of mentors. So you took a class from Serafina, which was at the club.
I did.
And then you performed the showcase, as I recall. And then we had a couple of parties where I was like, "All right, you want to perform? Let's make this happen."
Yeah, it was. It was definitely. I often got called in, kind of like, "Hey, we need a performer or something like that." Mm-hmm. And it was definitely like, "What can you throw together?" Or "What do you got?" And that
or "Here's the theme and here's the song, Dance Monkey Dance."
Pretty much, yeah. There were a couple of those. That actually really pushed me as a performer and really figuring that out, because it forced me to kind of work through, you know, dance numbers and everything like that, and being able to work on basically like choreography and everything like that, and really learn through basically trial by fire.
Yeah.
Because if I bombed, like, that was it.
Yeah.
So, but for me, the night I got dumped, I was supposed to perform.
And Captain Jack actually had your back on that one.
That's
too.
True. He did.
Yeah, we did Dishes the night you got dumped.
Well, it was,
or
it was,
maybe close by.
It was a couple nights after, I think, as I recall. But the night it actually happened, I was supposed to perform. I got in the car. I went to go get her, and she broke up with me when I got there.
That sucks.
So I came back. Yeah, it was. Don't like talking shit about exes, but they're just performer's courtesy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't dump
wait
somebody.
24 hours.
The one time it would have been okay to dump you by text.
Yeah.
No. late. I don't know.
No, probably.
Yeah, it would have almost been worse. For me it was I came back and I was just a mess. It was not good. You guys were all there. It was not fun. I kind of was just an emotional wreck, and you know, you guys all pretty much just said you need to go out there and you need to do it. And that was when I knew I was a performer, because despite all that, I still went out there and gave people a good show.
Yeah, you did.
So
you rocked it.
Yeah.
And it was the Lady of the Manor's birthday that night.
It was, yes.
And it was one of the bigger parties. It was a Cinco de Mayo party. And
yeah.
What number did you do?
I did Sweet Child of Mine. I did the mariachi version of Sweet Child of Mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this.
Because the rule of the internet is, if you can think it, it exists somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how do we take her favorite band and merge it with Cinco de Mayo? There has to be a Mexican version of it.
Somewhere.
And there was
quite luckily.
And it was hilarious.
It was. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that.
Didn't you pull a rose out of your crotch at one point?
Yeah, I gave it to the man of the house, as I recall. So
it's okay to say Norbert's name.
Norbert. Yeah. All right. I didn't know what the whole lingo was. We didn't go over that. But I handed a crotch rose to Norbert. So
How many people say that?
Yep. Yeah.
I handed a crotch rose to Norbert.
one of the less conventional gifts that he received. I mean, I would hope at least that stands out.
Yeah.
For me, it was, but I was able to, I mean, afterwards, I was still an emotional wreck, and I was probably pretty much just sad for a very long time.
It was cool, though, to see the community rally around you, because there were a few people that knew about what had happened, and Captain Jack was one of those, and
he was.
I recall you took him out on the back patio and had a really good heart-to-heart, because you're also a performer.
Yeah.
You've also been dumped. You've also been dumped.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
And we can relate.
I believe my conversation was you know, chin up, look at where you're at right now.
Right.
You're in a gorgeous facility at an awesome club.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of ladies
that
would take her place. And then you proceeded to go and lay the land.
So I think if I'm correct, you getting cock block is actually your fault.
Oh,
yes.
Touche.
That is all my doing.
Well, I have to say,
you're welcome.
Thank you, and I'm sorry.
That's all right.
So you actually have been dancing for quite a while.
Yes,
you were interested in learning hip hop and jazz and a couple other dancey dances when you were younger, and I would joke with you guys. When I drop you and your sister off at dance class, that was, you know, remember, if you guys become a stripper, I get a percentage.
Well, I think that
and it was a joke.
Yeah.
Stay off the pole, but if you do, I get half.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you're paying me back for dance lessons.
Well, I mean, I would hope that, you know, in the performers that, you know, I have, you know, given you enough restitutions for.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No,
good.
That was cool.
Yeah.
No, but you've been dancing for quite a while, and then you also connected with Eddie Van Glam, who's been mentoring you.
Yes, he has shown me quite a few things. I through that connection, I was able to be a referee for the 3-2-1 battle wrestling group, their wrestling troupe.
Solid Steel.
But being involved with that group, I got to learn a little bit more about the Seattle Underground and kind of what everybody kind of seeing a little bit more of the alternative lifestyle of kind of, you know, going to these shows and, you know, these underground, you know, not necessarily legal, may not have a liquor license, but they got Pabst Blue Ribbon in the back.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was definitely. It was also one of those things where I couldn't have been able to do that without the club.
Yeah.
Kind of, again, stepping out of your comfort zone and, you know. And for me, it was like I don't really have any peers that I can, the same people that are my age that I can really equate this with. You know, for most of the people that I know, they're still in college, if not graduating.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with turning 21, I mean, I almost feel like that I'm coming back around the other side, and I can, you know, kind of meet up with these people and say, hey, now that we're all kind of on the same path a tiny bit.
Guess what college I went to?
Yeah, pretty much. So for me, it's growing up and having now these memories of, you know, these experiences, my college experience, essentially, of, you know, working and learning and, you know, kind of, you know, literally going to the school of hard knocks almost. So,
or hard cocks.
Well, yeah, hard cocks. That works. But for me, it was. I don't really know what really I can equate this to.
You can't. It's a unique experience.
Yeah, there really is no, like, I wash dishes at an adult social club. How was your study of Sun Tzu's war strategies for 6 months? Did you enjoy that?
Do you feel that you've always been sex positive?
I was definitely in an environment that was sex positive before I knew what sex positive was.
How'd that go?
Because
there's a lot of articles now that I'm reading. I'm like, we did that with our kids like 15 years ago.
Well, I mean, you did kind of make me watch the Vagina Monologues like 6 years straight. that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
we had family discussions about it beforehand.
Oh, I know we did. Oh, totally. But it was.
We talked a lot about consent.
And, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I definitely had a very. Definitely had a very sex positive upbringing, just with the cultures and the different different things that I was introduced to. You know, you when I was very young, I lost a very, very close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He passed away, and one of the things that helped me comfort me was the idea that, you know, not any one person can fulfill all of your needs. That was something that you guys taught me, you know, that you kind of put the seeds of, you know, sex positive and open relationships, yeah, and non-monogamy, this idea that you can't, it's not necessarily fully rely on someone, but, you know, you can't expect that, you can't put on them the expectation of, you know, being able to fulfill all of your needs. And to be able to find someone who's like that is very rare indeed. So kind of work with what you have, and, mm-hmm, you know,
accentuate each other's strengths and weaknesses,
and support, yeah, each other, and, yeah, be happy with, you know, the flaws and the advantages of being with any particular partner, mm-hmm, and, you know, celebrate those and be happy with your partner, and, you know, be open to finding other people that fulfill the needs that maybe necessarily they can't quite give you, and just be happy. And that was something that I didn't really connect with until I was at the club. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't realize that it could also be relationships that were, you know, sexual, like, you know, being with, having a girlfriend, and, you know, having that kind of open communication. I really feel that, you know, a non-monogamous relationship has got to be the most communicative and most honest, because if you're not honest about what your sexual preferences are and what you feel about somebody that you see when you're open about this kind of thing,
yeah,
it's harder to be honest about other stuff.
Right.
And I think that you have to have a foundation of being honest about everything before you can even think about pursuing, you know, a non-monogamous relationship. So, you know, it's a lot of talking and a lot of conversations and, you know, discussion and trial and error and two steps forward, one step back. And it's hard. It really sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
But I feel that it's a better relationship.
That's true. So. And you're much less judgmental than you used to be. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, was I?
Well, I'm just going to tell a story.
Please.
There was one night, and we had some people in our neighborhood that, you know, had a hot tub, and we liked to party. And my clothes got lost. I don't know where they went. We were hanging out in the hot tub having naked time. And we used to, you know, because it was close enough that we could put a baby monitor on and leave the kids in bed and go down in hot tub. And, you know, it was a great Friday night.
Oh, God.
So I come home and there's a light on in the living room because I came home to get another bottle of wine.
And, like you do.
It was almost like, you know, Vincent Price turning around in the wingback chair. And I see the boy sitting there. And I said, oh, hey, how you doing? He goes, look, I don't mind if you swear too much. I don't mind if you smoke too much. I don't mind if you drink too much. But running up and down the street in nothing but a towel is going too far. You were 8.
I was going to say, to be fair,
wasn't wrong.
I was 8.
And I looked at you and I said, get your ass in bed.
I remember that story.
Yeah.
I was very upset about something.
It's,
I don't remember.
You know,
yeah,
and it's okay. I mean, yeah, it's we had a very strong family life, and when you guys went to bed, that's when we had adult fun. But we didn't engage in that kind of stuff when you guys were around and up, and yeah.
Yeah, well,
so it was a funny story, but that was definitely out of the norm for what you were subject and witness to.
That's true.
And I did have a towel on, by the way.
I understand. I wasn't
there you go.
Looking back, I mean, I was basically just an old man.
Yes, you were.
Just an angry old man. I've realized
you've grown out of it so nicely.
God, I hope so. Well, because being a crotchety old man is not a way to live your life.
That's true.
And
that's true.
And if you go around judging people for what they like and what they're into, and, you know, their fetishes, their lifestyles, whatever it is, as long as you're not hurting anybody, I really don't see an issue why you should be subject to any kind of harm of of words or physical attacks or anything like that. It drives me insane seeing that.
So let me ask you a question that I know a lot of people want to know.
Okay.
Are all strippers sluts?
No.
Okay.
I am, though. I am an amazingly huge slut. But I have, in my limited experience of all of the performers that I've encountered, I've known that a lot of them are actually very mellow, very normal people.
Very monogamous, too.
Very monogamous as well.
That's what I found, yeah.
I've found that, well, it's usually the performer and then their very supportive partner.
Right.
Because you really, if you're going to be doing that sort of thing, if you can't self-propel, you need somebody out there to help you motivate.
Right.
And, you know, finding a partner that supports you in that particular avenue, mm-hmm. in that genre of either being a performer themselves or a photographer or something that supports that or, you know, plays on that particular thought, you know, you really can't be... You really can't do this by yourself.
Right.
And you need to have a support system sometimes. And
sometimes it's your mom.
Sometimes it's your mom. Sometimes it's your wife. Sometimes it's your husband. Sometimes it's whoever you want in your life to support you in that way.
And you have a great lady friend right now.
I do. Yes, my lady. She is a fantastic person. We met at the club.
Mm-hmm.
She has been amazingly supportive of everything I do.
She and I could totally be sisters.
Well, I'm not going to get
it. It's not that kind of podcast.
Not that kind of podcast.
Oh, sorry.
So
this has been Not That Kind of Podcast.
Good Lord. Do we have an intro for this? Fuck. So, yes, my lady, we met at the club.
I remember that night, actually.
You do?
I remember the night that you guys hooked up.
Tell me about that night.
I don't remember a whole lot, but I do recall the night that you guys got together.
Oh.
And it was just like, whoa. Whoa. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The eagle has landed.
Holy shit.
Right. Yeah. Well, for me, it was, I met her in kind of a very, very suddenly. It was something that, you know, kind of a normal night for me. You know, nothing was really happening or anything like that. And I see
you were just
her.
Swooping in.
I wasn't even swooping.
You know what? Actually, I witnessed this. I'm pretty nice. Sure.
Oh, okay. So
this is the sitting next to the smoking porch inside at the table.
Okay. Well, how about this? I will tell up to that point in the story, and then you tell me what happens next.
I'm not sure what happens after that because I was kind of busy myself.
See what happens. So nothing was really happening. Kind of just like doing my rounds, making sure that nothing was broken or anything like that. And they're about to put out midnight snack, and I see this girl. Walking down the stairs out of the satellite, and, you know, she looks around looking for the midnight snack, and she, you know, they haven't opened up the line yet, so she opens the door and walks in, and she gets in there, steals a cookie, and runs back out.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. And then, so...
And did you sidle up? Hey,
no,
miss.
Actually, one of my other coworkers was about to go in there and, you know, tell her to, hey, you can't do that, and everything like that, and I grabbed him, and I said... I'll handle this. And I send him on his way. So I walk
not
over
so
to
fast.
Her.
Hold
then,
on. I'll take
and then
care
he turned
of this.
Into Les Mis and she went to jail for 20 years.
Oh, God. So I was standing there in my red underpants and a Kermit shirt. She actually jumped the gun on me. So she actually said, hey, nice shirt. And I was like, what? Oh, hey, you talk to me first. That's not normal. and we got to talking, and you know, we found out that we actually had a lot in common. She was a fire performer, mm-hmm. like myself, and we really got to talking, and we went through the food line again, and you know, got our midnight snack, and went up to the table, and we were talking for a little bit, and what happened after that?
Well, there was a little bit of talk. I was out on the smoking porch,
right? Yeah, so.
And so what I saw, was the two of you sit down at the table. And then some talking, and then she was on your lap,
mm-hmm.
and then more talking, and then I do believe that if she had gotten any closer to you, she would have been behind you.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
And then you guys disappeared, so I'm assuming
we went upstairs or something. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had a really good time, and, you know, I discovered the glory of business cards that night.
Yeah,
I discovered the couple's card is the best thing in the whole goddamn world, because if she had not given me her card, I would have never seen her again.
Nice.
So that is actually something that, you know, sometimes as a point of contact, just having something you can
have ran into her again at the club.
Well, of course I would have.
She may not have come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. There's sometimes that, you know, had people say.
That was her first night, right?
It was
I've
her
had
second
people
night.
Say, had I not met back. You first, I wouldn't have been back to club. Haven't we had that conversation, yes. Captain Jack?
Mm-hmm. So,
I strung you along for like 2 years.
Damn, Jesus. That's just rude.
Nah,
no, that's rude.
No, I wingmanned him the whole fucking time.
Right, it fair wasn't enough. Like he was in a dry spell or anything. Right.
Oh yeah, fair enough, fair enough. But I was, but yeah, had I not been, had she not given me her card, I would never have seen her again.
Right,
honestly. And, you know, I never would have realized that I had such a connection with her. And I don't think really anything that I wanted would have happened, you know, because when I got to know her, she continued to support me with fire, with being a fire performer and being a performer in many regards. And I've upgraded significantly. I've leveled up since I met her. Yeah. So I'm
And you guys
very
performed
happy.
A really hot number on Valentine's Day.
We did. Yes. Yeah. We actually,
no pun intended.
Yeah. Right. yeah, it was a fire performance. Her tool is it's a magician's trick. Mm-hmm. So it's a wand. That's basically the LED version of it is a wand. That's basically, it's a strip of LEDs in a cylinder. And you use a string, and it flips around and everything like that. And it looks like you're using the power of your mind to move it around.
That's cool.
Yeah, and she incorporates it into dance numbers and everything like that. So, cool. Yeah, she's really quite fantastic.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So
we've had some amazing adventures. We haven't talked about those lately. We've had some guests and stuff. I just got done doing a bunch of panels at CSPC for their Sexplorations weekend, which is a weekend of education and then play parties in the evening. So that was a lot of fun. I did a non-monogamy panel. I did threesomes and group sex, and did a Ask the Sexpert about relationships. So that was really cool.
You joined me Friday night, blowing some vanilla mines.
Came
karaoke
out to a
club.
Little
we had a bunch of us out there.
Impromptu evening out.
Yeah,
had a good time.
Us.
I almost fucked the bouncer.
Damn.
Yeah. He was a character.
Yeah, he was hilarious. I didn't want to get him fired, though. So, oh, but he offered to take me up to the office and fuck my brains out.
Nice,
so.
He did.
Well, that was nice of him.
I gave him my number. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, there you go.
I also got to make out with a really hot volunteer, too, this weekend. They found me in a dark hallway. And
Nice.
Yeah, that was fun.
Volunteer of?
At CSPC.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a good time.
Excellent.
Had a crazy adventure last night, so.
Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and then went to body storytelling this weekend. So my crazy adventure last night turned into some, nonstop orgasm torture sort of thing. I don't know.
Nice. Just,
like taking the toy out and not letting me stop having orgasms until I cried uncle, and I was like, I'm not crying uncle, and tried to crawl away and get out of the bed, and the bed's 3 feet off the ground, so like I'm hanging off the bed and all that's left is like my calves and the my feet, and he's got me by my feet and still has the Hitachi on my clit, and I'm freaking out and screaming, and like then I realize, oh my god, he could totally drop me on my head. So then he's like, I'm not helping you. So then I claw my way back up the wall and yeah, it was ridiculous.
Wow. Nice.
I've been experimenting with some bondage lately.
Oh.
Ah.
Yes. A lady friend of mine, we recently had a night where she had this device she's never used. She was in the box, unopened.
What
was it? Pull
it
out. I brought over handcuffs to start things out. And she's like, oh,
like
you
real
like
cop
that kind
of handcuffs, like the metal ones?
No, they're the padded ones. They're okay. Really thick, and they go around, you know, 2 inches wide or whatever.
Oh,
are
yeah.
they metal
oh.
or leather?
They are leather.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although they had
the
a metal clasp.
Ones.
Between the two of them, they clip together.
Okay, so those are cuffs.
They're just cuffs.
Those
yeah.
aren't, yeah.
Okay.
Those are.
They're cuffs, sure.
Yeah.
They're meant for like restraint play rather than any kind of.
Yeah, well, so she mm-hmm. also showed me this device that had, it was basically a leather collar and a strip of leather that went down the back with a bunch of D-rings. So, and it came with cuffs too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I used mine. They were a little nicer. I got it on her, put her in cuffs with her hands behind her back, had her bent over most of the time, spanking the hell out of her ass.
Nice.
Really getting my whole spanking technique down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took...
Did you warm her up first?
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't go right at it unless it's you. And then I took the other set of cuffs that came with the device and put it around just above her elbow.
Okay.
Oh.
And then pulled her elbows in and her hands are tied. And so, basically her face was smashed into the bed.
Nice.
Mm. And, screaming and hollering and loving every minute of it and soaking the bed down because she's a super squirter. And
nice.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And it gave me something to hold on to in doggy style.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
You grab that and kind of pull her back.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to reach all the way up to grab her hair, to pull her hair. So.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So nice.
Although she likes that too.
Grab her hair. Mm-hmm. And, nice.
Yeah. I have a lot of fun with bondage lately.
I was introduced to a new toy just recently called the Go-Go Glider.
Ooh. I saw that online. You showed me the video.
I did. Yeah. I did.
I know that.
The Go-Go Glider is, there's like an Indiegogo campaign and stuff. They got funded or didn't or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, it's not out yet. It should be coming out soon. I'm going to try to get in touch with the people that are making these things because it's fucking awesome.
What does it do?
What it is a 20-inch long stainless steel rod with a ball on one end that's kind of egg-shaped and then a handle on the other. And in the middle, in between the ball and the handle, is what essentially amounts to a purple dildo. With a large mound.
Last night I was at a club and I saw these. They are somebody had a booth set up,
uh-huh,
and they're demoing them and selling them at a discount.
Yes.
Really?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, there you go. So
I want one. I'll give you money.
I think it was like $100.
The way that it's 100, 150, something like that. So the way that it works is you slide the stainless steel egg into the vagina,
mm-hmm,
and you slide into until it rests against the cervix. And then once that's in place, and you got to do a lot of communicating with your partner because, you can't just bang, put that in because that would be super bad.
Mm-hmm.
So then you start to slide the dildo portion of the toy in, and the mound that's on it rests very comfortably against the G-spot.
Okay.
So you slide it in there, and the orgasms begin just as the dildo hits the G-spot, in my experience, and then they just don't stop until you're done.
Nice.
So there's a lot of, you move the stainless steel ball a little bit with the rod, and you kind of work. It's a double, it takes some concentration, but it does not have a steep learning curve. You listen, you adjust, and you keep going, and holy shit.
Get in, sit down, shut up, and hold on.
Yeah.
Good God. An amazing amount of just squirting and screaming and just bed clawing and ripping of things off walls and sonic booms and holy shit.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
So, highly recommended.
Nice.
I'll see if we can get in touch with the company that makes them.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, those are
great
good people. Yeah. Those are good, good people.
Miss Jenga's on the prowl,
mission.
Man. Miss Jenga is on the prowl. I've been hitting on people. It was really weird for me because I was flirty at club and there were people that I played with and whatever else. But once the club closed, I had this freedom kind of lifted to be totally flirty and just be a little bit more slutty because there was a level of professionalism that I had to maintain.
Friday night, you had a different attitude than I've seen you before because you're amongst our people.
Yeah.
And
but I wasn't
you
responsible
didn't have to
for
work.
Any of them.
You had no responsibility. It was like a side of Jenga that I just fall in love with again.
Oh, I'm glad.
So awesome.
I'm glad it was good to see you too. I'm excited for our adventures. So I checked out Body Storytelling, BAWDY.
Mm-hmm.
It's run by a gal named Trixie Latour, and she goes up and down the coast and has professional performers come in or sex positive people come in and talk about their dirty, dirty stories, kind of like we do every week. It was really cool. So it was almost like a story slam. It's a concept that actually I talked about when I was doing the vagina monologues about getting real people to tell real sex stories. The Vagina Monologues was, but it was a conglomeration and then written by an author. And this is just raw. Like, they don't have a script. They don't read it. Some people definitely worked on their story and made it happen. But it was just, it was a lot of fun and really a phenomenal experience. So she comes up to Seattle about once a quarter, and the place was packed. It was kind of like the who's who in the sex positive community. So I was able to talk to a lot of people and had a great time. The stories were super interesting and funny and poignant. And yeah, it was good stuff. Good stuff. And I just love it that people, when they get there and, you know, to a point where they're comfortable and confident enough in their sexuality, really own their history. You know, you own it regardless of whether it's, you know, a sloppy story of just about falling off the bed and, you know, clawing your way back up. I am not going to cry, Uncle.
And yet, eventually you did?
No.
You didn't?
No, I said, I will not yield.
You will not? Whoa.
I will not yield.
Wow. And yet here you are, still standing.
I am, yes. And it turned into a sweaty wrestling match. And yeah, it was funny because, like, he pinned me down at one point and I was like, all right, I'll just lay here until he relaxes. And I felt him relax. And then I totally, like, took my shoulder and pushed him over and he almost fell off the bed.
Oh, shit.
He's like, fuck. Yeah, I think we woke up the roommates. That was fun.
That's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Loud and obnoxious. So what else have you guys got going on? Any other fun stories?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's been like 3 weeks since we've been able to tell stories. Maybe even more.
I know. I think
I have some goodies. Oh, geez. What was...
I was going to say, you left off the last podcast saying, oh, yeah, I've got stories.
Yeah, I know.
We got to write these down.
Yeah, I do need a little journal at the end of club. Find some time before
you've
we go to bed.
You've got a spreadsheet. Yeah. You don't put notes in that?
Oh, that's right, you do.
This would be a companion to the spreadsheet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, reference. You exactly. Know, yeah.
A little asterisk at the bottom. You know, reference line.
Reference line 32.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of 20-year-olds I've been playing. 20-somethings. I know. It's crazy. Well, I have a regular Wednesday night date now.
Oh, cool.
Going to a club on a Wednesday night.
Nice.
I met her at that club, and the second time we met up, she's going, would you like to make this a regular Wednesday thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay.
This little, awesome. Little redhead librarian-looking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're talking about her.
A little geeky nerdiness to her, just a little bit to make her saucy.
Dude, what is up with the redheads this time of year? I've had a bunch of them hit on me.
I don't know. I have had... I don't want to say, this is going to make me sound slutty, not that it's bad. So many redheads this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They are coming out of the freaking woodwork. The date today was another redhead. I don't know. I don't get it.
And see, I'm a natural redhead, but I've been hitting the bottle with, you know, the hair dye and whatnot, so.
Got to grow that shit out.
No. It's all
maybe
it's
get all some more. Now, maybe they'll get some more Captain Jack time.
Yeah.
Sorry, boy. Hitting on your mom again.
Look, dude, at this point, just keep it consistent.
We've gone beyond the making it weird. Like, we strive to make it weird for other people because it's not weird for us anymore.
Yeah. The thing is that, you know, a lot of people have asked me, is it weird for you that your mom works here? Is it weird that your dad comes here? Is it weird that they bring couples here to play with? Is it weird that, you know, all this stuff? And for me, it was never...
No, it's not weird.
No.
You're making it weird.
Yeah,
stop making
exactly.
it weird.
You're making it weird for bringing it up. For me, it was especially having my parents at a club like this. It's obviously not something that everyone experiences. And being growing up and seeing my parents as sexual beings was a pretty rapid adjustment that I had to make if I was going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, I was kind of forced to kind of confront this idea that, you know, yeah, my parents have sex. My parents have a lot of sex with a lot of different people.
Well,
and that's totally okay.
And the first night you were at club, it was an air sex competition.
Yeah.
And I got out there to demonstrate because it was, you know, you basically got out there and danced around and lip synced to the songs. And it was just a fun, silly competition. And, of course, because I was game goddess, I had to demo it so people understood what to do. And you were sitting in the front row, as I recall.
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. Not by my choice, might I add.
And I simulated giving a double hand job. So.
I laughed my ass off. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, yes. It was hilarious.
Oh, and there were so many shocked people who just turned. What's he going to say? What's he going to say? He's laughing. And they're like, why is he laughing?
Is
oh,
he
my
crying?
God.
Is he upset?
A lot of people thought I was crying. That was funny.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious.
But yeah, so it was definitely being in a highly sexual environment with my parents. It was very obviously one of those things where, you know, we very much had to make that arrangement of kind of like, not even like let each other know, just kind of just like, okay, you're going to go do your thing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to go do my thing, and we are not going to talk about it.
Right.
And we are going to acknowledge each other as adults.
Right.
And if there's any change to that particular agreement, then there's going to be issue.
Yep.
Well, there was one guiding principle that we started off with the first time you were at club, because as I recall, you were working there, and then you decided, I'm going to join the club. And mm-hmm. we were like, well, maybe. And he's like, I'm 18, I can do whatever the fuck I want. Like,
and Mr. Big gave
you
the tour.
You are correct.
You
can
do an inch of your life.
Yes, yeah, you can do whatever you want. But we did have one caveat, and mm-hmm. we've talked about it a couple times. I think it bears repeating, and that is, there are things you cannot unsee.
Oh, yes.
So just, that's your watchword. And yep. that was our watchword. And it's like, okay, well, the boy's upstairs. I know he went to the second floor. I can hang out on the first floor if I don't care. But, you know, after a while, it's just like, fuck, I'm going to just go get my fuck on wherever it is.
I was worried one time.
You were worried.
One?
One time? Tell your story.
Consider yourself lucky.
You were in the upper bunk with somebody, and I heard your voice, and I opened the curtains. I'm like, who you fucking now? Close the curtains.
Oh, my God. That is such... Poor.
That is a terrible,
manners.
Terrible thing.
You never open curtains.
No, God, so that's like.
Oh,
like, called me a slut. As
upstairs, 101.
Bad Jenga. Yeah.
That's terrible.
You can
actually get kicked out of the club for that.
That's true. Holy shit!
Oh shit!
Please end my misery.
No. Too late. Too late. Last week done.
No, but that was, and it was a funny thing because, yeah, and since then I've. Chatted with the lady that you were with, and we have this ongoing joke where I'll periodically say, yeah, you fucked my kid. Like,
yeah, no, that's a thing. Oh, which reminds me, that top bunk was actually one of my favorite places, and I can tell this story now because it's closed.
That's right. Oh,
so,
this is awesome.
You're all familiar with the floor plan of the upstairs area of the second floor of the satellite. So there, you go up the stairs, and then there's the monitor bed, which, you know, I'm sure you've explained how that works. So I went upstairs with actually my lady, and we went up into the top bunk of that big king size bunk bed.
Mm-hmm. So we were in the red room or the pirate bed?
Pirate bed. And we were playing and everything like that, and having a good time. And there is like a huge group of people just going at it on the monitor bed. Mm-hmm. Just, and they're obviously putting on a show because, you know, they've got the porn angles where it's like there's no reason that, you know, this guy's cock should be going into her vagina, but somehow it's happening. and just very obviously showing off and making like a big show of it, and everybody's just moaning like crazy, and they're making a big old fucking racket. And we both peer out.
They call those exhibitionists.
Yeah, I'm aware. And we both look out of the curtain, and just as one of the girls is shouting, yes, yes, toaster strudel all over my face!
Oh, I remember that night.
And I fucking launch back and just clamp my hand over my mouth, and I try to stop, not laugh. I try so hard, and I just start fidgeting, and my legs shut up, and I kicked a hole in the ceiling. So my foot is now stuck in the ceiling. My lady doesn't have any idea what's going on, and I am just laughing my ass off, trying not to make sure they don't hear it because I don't want them to get embarrassed.
Right, or shut it down.
Or shut it down because I don't want to do that. And it was just
brutal.
All over my face. And like, I was just laughing and just. Oh,
that became a phrase for a while. Just journal all over me.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a fan of the money shot, but if a girl yells that at me, I would have to oblige.
Right.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
But yeah, well so, done. Oh God, that was a heck of a night.
When's your book coming out?
Oh God. You mean the book that I've been trying to write for like 11 years?
No. Your book about your experience.
Oh, the book about the experience.
We'll have you back on again.
Yeah. I'm trying to turn it into a TV show at this point because that's pretty much the only way I think we can do it.
HBO special TV series.
Pretty much, right?
That'd be awesome.
6 episodes.
Get Peter Dinklage to play Mr. Big.
That would be great. Please, can we?
I can make that happen. There's a Dwarf Network.
Oh.
She's hooked in.
Oh, you're...
I don't
we'll see. Know.
Hooked
we'll
in.
See. Who knows?
All right. Well,
it'll happen if it's supposed to.
I would like it to.
So, you know what? If you've got Peter Dinklage stories, then you can write them down on an email and send them via the email system to theoafacepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, follow us at @TheOFacePodcast. Follow Miss Jenga @MissJenga.
Go get your junk sugared. Everybody deserves a clean workspace.
Get your junk sugared at sugarmejulie.com. There is a link on the website for that. The website is TheOFacePodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook, The O-Face Podcast, O-Face Jack, O-Face Freckles, or Freckles O-Face.
Jack O-Face.
Jack O-Face. Jack O-Face.
Jack O-Face?
Jack O-Face.
Jack O-Face. You don't like the money shop.
And Freckles O-Face.
I'll do it for you.
And The O-Face Podcast, just, you know, type it in the search. You'll find it. It's all good. Like us. We like you. Hey, you know what? If you haven't rated us on iTunes, go ahead and do that. And if you give us stars, we give you kisses if we ever meet you in real life. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. And
there could be blowjobs involved in dark hallways.
There might be.
Or more.
There you go. Who knows? And I think that pretty much sums that up. And I think the boy here has given 110%.
I think so.
I'm doing what I can.
I think he also has another podcast in his can.
Well, that looked easy enough. And Joey is going to try it out.
Balls.
They're very smooth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Nice and tender.
Nice.
Neat.
Sugar coated.
You wanna test it with your tongue?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
Here. Well, all right.
Hey, boy.
Sorry, boy.
Talking.
Yeah. Talking. I'm talking into the microphone.
Talking into the talk hole with the
Harry. I'm hitting on his mother as he's sitting Jack's right here next to me.
Which would be different from when we interviewed our daughter. When? How?
Oh, that's true. We kind of did the same thing.
I was going to say, it's like, this is uncharacteristic. I'm confused here.
No. Okay. So, all right.